Welcome to Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Jordan Hamm. The 2019 MLB draft will be a defining one for Mike Hazen and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Because of trades and compensatory picks, the club had seven of the first 75 selections, a group that could set up the franchise for the next decade or cause it to stumble in the coming years. Now, like on the diamond, you fail a lot more than you succeed in the MLB draft. Not all of these guys will pan out. Some of them may be traded long before they step in Chase Field. A few may never even sniff the big leagues at all. And the best pick from this draft may not come on day one. Paul Goldschmidt was selected with the 246th pick in the 2009 draft. And on top of that, we won't know these players' fates for likely a few years. But if the Diamondbacks are competing for the NL West in the next couple of years, it's safe to say it's because the club was able to hit on a few of these day one picks. So I want to dedicate the next few Diamonds in the Desert episodes to learn more about these day one players, the seven selections, and So I wanted to dedicate the next few Diamond in the Desert episodes to learn more about these seven day one selections from the people who coached and covered them. We'll start things off with the Diamondbacks' first pick in the draft, Seattle prep outfielder Corbin Carroll. The scouting report says he does a lot well on the baseball field, and there are few holes in his game. His prep head coach Kellen Sundin sat down with Diamonds in the Desert to talk about how Carroll balanced being a top prospect and what the Diamondback fans can look for within Carroll's game. The Diamonds in the Desert podcast is now joined by Kellen Sundin, Lakeside High School head coach in Seattle, Washington, and he is the head coach of Corbin Carroll, the Diamondbacks' first pick of a very long day one. 16th overall, the outfielder has been described much as a polished product and kind of can do a little bit of everything. So, Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Happy to talk about Corbin.
So let's go right into that polished demeanor. Every time I read a scouting report, you know, watching the draft, all the analysts, once the pick was made, consistently went back to that word of polished. Just how has Corbin been able to develop just kind of so many different facets of his game going through high school?
Yeah, I think it's a good descriptor of him. He really high character kid, and the hardest worker we had in our program, and just a really tough to pick apart kid. I mean, he does everything you want in a high school baseball player and a leader. And so he was good from the get go when we got him, but really improved a lot over the last 4 years, and just the amount of time and energy he put into it, I think got him to where he ended up going. We knew he was going to be good, but obviously this probably surpassed anybody's expectations for how far he was going to go.
When we spoke to him, when the media spoke to him after his selection, we asked him to describe himself, and the term that he used was tools meets gamer. Do you think that's a fair assessment of his game?
No doubt. Always been a pretty toolsy kid. It's kind of interesting. He was a pretty small guy when we got him as a ninth grader. He was 5'7", 130. And he could always run. And I think people kind of pegged him as this smallish, fast leadoff type guy because of the first obvious skill set, which is how well he ran, and the fact that he was kind of a smaller type kid, left-handed center fielder. But the reality is that he always was a pretty big swinging kid. And even as a tiny kid, he could hit the ball a long way. So, hit home runs for us when he was a freshman. And then, as he's added 45 pounds over the last 4 years, I think people now, everybody realizes what the power's tool is for him, which is every bit as good as any of his other tools. Total gamer. I mean, loves the game as much as any kid I've ever been around. Just lives and breathes it. First guy there, last guy to leave. Always is swinging, always is hitting in the cages at school. Just pretty driven. I mean, driven is the word that I've used a lot over the last few weeks. Kind of a kid that knows where he's going, and I have no doubts about any of that. He's a pretty special kid.
again, going back to some of these scouting reports, they discussed that he was the best defensive prep player in this draft. Just what sort of attentiveness did he bring to the defensive side of the ball, and just how much did it help having a guy roaming center field for you that could cover so much ground?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that, you know, the defensive tools were always there, but those are ones, you know, I'd say he worked on as much as any other ones. Didn't start at center. He didn't start right away in center field as a freshman. He played right field. And so he had to compete a little bit for his spot he wanted to be at. The range was always there, but becoming more consistent as a reader of the ball off the bat, that happened pretty quick. And then, really working on his arm strength to the point now where he's got a very good, solid arm. But, those were areas that he spent time on, because he's the type of kid that gets any sort of word about things he needs to work on, he tries to squash those weaknesses, you know. And so, defensive side, I mean, he changed games for us. I mean, he could get the balls in center field that nobody around here could. And we had a really good pitching staff this year, and, you know, he saved the incident. For sure they're going to be hurting a lot without him in center field. But, really improved defensive player. He can get to a lot of balls in the gaps that you just don't see kids that age get to.
He had a great career with you, hit .450 overall, 22 home runs, 101 RBIs. But when he would go to these national events, was that kind of the wake-up call that, wow, this guy really could be special? He's going head-to-head with some of the best in the nation and really has been thriving?
Yeah, you know, I think in our area, he had a great deal of respect by everybody around here from the get-go. But I think last summer and last fall is really where it went to a new level with making that national team. You know, he had not made the national team before. It was a huge deal for him, particularly a kid from our area where, you know, we can't play baseball 12 months out of the year around here. He's competing with a lot of guys from the South, and he had to kind of unseat some guys that were previous returners from the 16 national team, and so he was really up against it. He really had to earn it. And once he made the team last fall, I knew once he made it, he was gonna play well. I never had any doubts about that. And so once he went down to Can-Am games, down to Central America, started hitting good. That's at that point I knew. Everybody knew at that point. You know, it was. I think everybody started saying things about him that we've been saying about him up here in the Northwest for a long time. But to do it on that stage was obviously a really big deal for his stock. And I think personally, him just making that team was a big deal for him. That was a huge goal. And once he made the team, I knew he was going to have success down there.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've talked about the skills and the work ethic that he had, but how did he handle being a top-flight draft prospect and having to balance the pressures of being one of the top players in the draft and continuing to perform and, you know, still do well at school ball and balance the travel ball while also, you know, having plenty of draft scouts there watching him each and every game?
Yeah, he handled it really well, as he does with everything else. I used to worry about him when he was younger. He would zip around the country in the summer and a lot of times on his own and playing in baseball tournaments. I wanted to make sure he was enjoying himself in the summer and doing social things with his friends and all that stuff. But I came to realize after, you know, expressing some of those concerns to him that, you know, this is just who he wants to be. Like, this is who he wants to be and who he's going to be. And so the component about traveling and playing in the high-profile events and getting around the country and managing, you know, his time in that regard, he's so experienced at that now that you don't ever say that's easy, but you can do that stuff so easily for him. This year, the high school season, I mean, we had some interesting moments, like earlier in the year, where, you know, we show up to the first game, and I got there at 90 minutes before the game, and there was 75 MLB people there already. Adley Rutschman was in town for Oregon State that weekend, and it was, so there was a lot of front office types that just stuck around an extra day to see us on Monday. And so I think we were all a little nervous that day, including him. But, you know, after we got through that first game, it was to our advantage. We just did it all year and played in front of that level of crowd while other teams were going through it for the first time. And so he had a great, you know, when having played in the national team, he had good experience of playing in front of important baseball people, and he just did his thing from that point forward. He was super consistent his whole high school career, and this year was like the other ones. He was pretty darn good from the start, and pretty well focused on having the most kind of normal senior year as he possibly could, given the circumstances.
Where do you think he needs to develop or further polish his game so he's making those next steps towards Major League Baseball?
Shoot, he's really difficult to pick apart from a skill set standpoint. You know, I think as we went through high school career, there was kind of small things that we talked about each year about getting better at, kind of being more aggressive as a base runner, given his speed, and he did that, and kind of improving his reading ability in the outfield, did that, and then improving his arm strength going into his senior year, really did that. I think one thing that would be interesting for him is, and will be good for him, is he's going to obviously face some adversity going forward, you know, and like he's been so good for us that, you know, he's had moments of adversity, but from a baseball perspective, to see some of those moments that where he struggles, and it's going to be good for him. It's going to push him even harder, and you know, those moments are going to be inevitable, obviously, at the level he's going to be playing at. But yeah, a pretty well-rounded player. There's not one individual thing that I would point out. He can kind of do it all out there, and pretty quick to shore up anything that he needs to improve on, you know.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for giving us some insight on the Diamondbacks' first-round selection and what seems to be, as you've said, a pretty polished and well-rounded baseball player.
Yep, happy to talk with you about him, and looking forward to following his career with the Diamondbacks.
We are joined by Richard Foy, head coach of New Hanover High School in Wilmington, North Carolina. Foy had a front-row seat to watch lefty pitcher Blake Walston dominate the competition, which led to the Southpaw being selected 26th overall by the Diamondbacks in the first round. Foy shares how Walston is more than a big arm and how his repertoire is already a polished one. He also discusses how Walston was an accomplished high school quarterback and how he brings that to the mound. Diamonds in the Desert podcast, now joined by New Hanover High School head coach Richard Foy in Wilmington, North Carolina. The Diamondbacks selected Blake Walston, 26th overall in last month's MLB draft. Thanks so much for joining us, Coach.
You're very welcome.
So when you look at Blake Walston and, you know, his size, obviously he had some incredible senior numbers, a .46 ERA, struck out 137 in 75 innings. When on draft night, when he was selected, one of the words that he used was surprised when we asked him his thoughts going through the draft process and getting selected by the Diamondbacks so early. Just what is Blake like? Because that was kind of surprising to hear that he would be surprised, knowing just how talented he is.
Well, you know, starting on January 23rd, when Blake threw his first downhill bullpen, and there were 15, 16 scouts there to watch, and then I would say probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 every time he started a game this year. There was so much excitement, so much conversation associated with Blake and his draft potential. As time went on, and I guess established some relationships with some of the area scouts, I was very confident that he was going to be drafted first, second round, and then you start getting into the, I think, maybe some of the paranoia that exists between the big league clubs about who's going to take who where. And I think Arizona thought if they were going to get him, they were going to have to get him 26th overall. Mm-hmm. If they tried to wait to that compensation pick at 34, I think they thought they might lose him.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much that has to be balanced, especially for a prep player, not only balancing school, but his season, but also this quote-unquote recruitment of what's going on with the draft. How did Blake handle that process, having to juggle all of those things at once?
Well, Blake had some good people in his circle now. He's comes from a great family. You know, mom and dad are very level-headed, and I think any and all advice they gave him was spot on. And then a local guy that works with the Boris Group, Garrett Gore, was a big help. I think Blake also did a nice job of listening to me when I told him in January that if he performed, everything that was out of our control would turn out good. And Blake just, you know, got his between start work in, stayed healthy, stayed in the weight room, and got better as the year went on. Mm-hmm. And I think he just simplified it and said, I just got to play.
Mm-hmm. Now, he won two state titles for the baseball team, but also won a high school football state championship at playing quarterback and put up some very impressive numbers his junior year as well. How do you think playing football helped him on the mound?
From a toughness standpoint, I don't think there's any question the two-sport guys gain an advantage. You know, Blake, you know, if you meet him in person, you probably won't say that that's a prototypical football frame that he's working with right now. But he played the position with a ton of toughness, even at, you know, 6'5", 175, or whatever he is. So I just think the two-sport guys are tough kids.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned his frame, 6'4", around 175 pounds. But when you read these scouting reports, you think that, you know, his velocity could bump up should he gain weight, and, you know, he's projected to gain weight. Just how much more potential do you feel like he has once he's able to really put a big bulk of his focus on baseball?
You know, I think the 24/7, 365 focus on baseball is definitely going to benefit him. And then from a frame standpoint, if you get a chance to shake his dad's hand and his brother's hand, there's no question he's nowhere near his man body yet. Nowhere close. His brother's a tight end at University of North Carolina, a big fella, and his dad's a big guy. You know, so it would not shock me at all for Blake to be 220, 225 pounds sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. And so with that added weight, just how much do you think that can expand what he's already doing at a successful rate?
I think his velo jump from junior to senior year was 100% related to lower body strength. You know, Blake put some serious time in the weight room, and his lower half numbers improved, and not coincidentally, his velo jumped. And he was a guy that operated at, you know, 85, 86 as a junior. And when he wanted to, he was, you know, 92, 93 this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You pair that with a breaking ball. Based on everything I've read and everything I've seen on video, he has a terrific feel for that breaking ball. Just how did that open things up for him his senior year?
Well, I mean, at the high school level, even in North Carolina, where I think our high school baseball is as good as anybody's, a kid that's 90-plus that can spin it for strikes, is going to be tough on the average high school guy. And Blake's feel for the curveball, I mean, I'm not so much into spin rate and all that stuff like the pro guys, but it's tight. He can really spin it. And then, like real good dart players, man, he just throws it where he's looking. He's he is really gifted when it comes to spinning the ball.
When you look at, you know, you mentioned getting familiar with some of the area scouts and that sort of thing. Just what were your interactions like with the Diamondbacks, and, you know, whether it was their due diligence or coming out to scout the games or anything like that?
The due diligence has gone way past due diligence. The amount of data that those guys attempt to collect is crazy. I mean, from pictures of their pitch grips to psych tests, it is crazy the amount of data they try to collect. As far as Arizona specifically, the area guy here in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, I guess, has Wilmington roots. He is actually, I think, distantly kin to my pitching coach, Scott Sandlin. And so George Swain has really not been a stranger around our program, even when we did not have guys that were, draftable. Having George out here with some regularity was a blast, man. He's a good, fun guy to be around. He knows what he's doing.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the insight and just giving us a better picture of what Blake Walston can bring to the table.
Yes, sir, man. Go Diamondbacks.
The Arizona Diamondbacks have found themselves drafting multiple players from the IMG Academy under the current Mike Hazen regime. They went back to the Academy when they had the 33rd pick in the competitive balance round A and selected Brennan Malone, a big-bodied, hard-throwing right-handed pitcher. IMG baseball director Dan Simons joins Diamonds in the Desert to talk about what he saw Malone do and how he grew in just 1 year with the Academy, and how the right-hander may be a bit further along than most high school prospects because of his round-the-clock training. The Diamonds in the Desert podcast is joined by IMG Director of Baseball Dan Simons here to talk about Brennan Malone, the 33rd overall pick, selection by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, appreciate you having me.
So when you look at Brennan Malone, I mean, I guess a pretty broad question to start, but what would the Arizona Diamondbacks be getting in Brennan Malone?
Well, they're going to get an incredible competitor. I know that. He's beyond his years as far as his level of competitiveness and just the way he goes out and prepares. He's a kid that's incredibly coachable. You know, to see some of the adjustments that he's made, you know, during his time here at IMG was pretty impressive. The talent speaks for itself. You know, the fastball and certainly the strength and the upside is all, you know, where you want it to be. But I think some of the intangibles as far as, like I said, the competitiveness, his coachability, the ability to make adjustments, and really just his approach to the game and how he prepares is special.
You mentioned that growth with IMG. I know he was only there a year, but how did you see him really refine his skills in that year when he was with you?
Well, I think he needed to work on a few things in terms of just having better command. And certainly better command and just better use of his off speed. I think that was the biggest knock on him, that the fastball was always there in the sense that he was mid-90s to upper 90s, but he needed the secondary stuff to really compete at higher levels. And, you know, he worked, a lot with Steve Fry, who was a former big league pitcher, and I think Steve really took his game to a whole new level. But To Brennan's credit, he embraced a lot of the adjustments. Those adjustments weren't short-lived just because, you know, he didn't have success right away. And I thought that was very, very impressive for a young kid, that even though he didn't get immediate results, he stuck with those adjustments, and he saw the results down the road. And, you know, he didn't throw a ton when he first got here in the fall. We kind of backed him off and just really got him ready to compete in the Pan American Games. But once he returned from there and started working with Steve and getting ready for the season, you know, we saw a lot of things change, and as a result, he really produced, when the season rolled around.
When you look at his tape, it's the first couple of things that jump out is obviously his size and his frame, and also that fastball. Just how would you describe that fastball and how he's able to utilize it?
Well, I think that his ability to repeat his delivery, right, and just the sense that, you know, he does have a big frame, he's very, very strong, but it's effortless. And I think a lot of times when you see hard throwers, sometimes you see max effort. And with Brennan, it's just the opposite. He's very, very controlled. You know, he's a very athletic kid, but his ability to repeat his delivery, and as I'd mentioned before, you know, he makes adjustments. He makes adjustments, you know, from pitch to pitch. You know, he's got a much better feel for a changeup now, you know, than he had. But I think that, you know, the off-speed was probably the biggest jump that he made. You know, he commanding a curveball. He's got kind of a cutter slider that he throws. And, you know, I just, you know, a kid of that size and that strength and, you know, to kind of see how he progressed as the year went on, to really, you know, at first he was a thrower, and I think what he ended up doing is he really became a pitcher as the year went on.
I know that the Diamondbacks the past couple of years have selected quite a few guys from the IMG Academy. What has your interactions been like with that club in the pre-draft process? And just how do you think that the Diamondbacks are well-suited to help Brennan take those next steps?
Yeah, listen, they've done a great job. I mean, they really are thorough in how they go about it. And I speak through experience because they have, you know, drafted a few of our guys, and they've had a couple good ones, believe me. So they've been very, very thorough. I mean, they do extensive work in terms of the makeup. You know, they meet with the kids. You know, they do a lot of the testing. And as I said, they've got an impressive crew when you look at, you know, a Levi Kelly, a Blaze Alexander, and now Brennan Malone. And, you know, we actually have one of our former players, JR, right? I don't know if JR Murphy is no longer, I think he's back in the minor leagues, but, you know, there's a kid that did come through IMG Academy as well. So, you know, with the three most recent draft picks, you know, they've got three really good ones, three high character kids, hardworking kids, and kids that have, you know, great futures ahead of them.
So you talked about the growth that Brennan had in this year with you. What sort of steps will he need to make sure that he does get to the major league level and is competing at a high professional level?
Well, I think the biggest adjustment now, he's not going to be facing, you know, two or three good hitters in a lineup. He's going to probably be placing, especially in the minor leagues, right, probably closer to five or six, maybe even seven good hitters, right? And certainly he gets to the big league level, it's even more. So, you know, I think that he's going to have to continue, you know, the ability to locate, the ability to pitch down in the zone, you know, effectively pitch inside, which, you know, I think that's something he's going to need to work on and become more proficient at. You know, you're going to have that tool kind of, you know, the ability to pitch inside, I should say, you know, at higher levels of baseball. And certainly just, you know, continuing to develop his off-speed and can be consistent with his off-speed, that he can throw that in, you know, when he's down in counts and have enough confidence and command in his off-speed that he's able to set up his fastball even that much more. So, I would just say the maturity, the other thing, and one of the biggest adjustments, right, is just the amount of times he's going to be pitching and the frequency and the preparation and getting himself ready to compete, you know, every time he takes the mound. You know, the professional game is a lot different than the college game, and certainly a lot different than the high school game, you know, where all you're doing is pitching once a week. Now he's going to have to get used to pitching once every 5 or 6 days. And, you know, I think that part, the lifestyle and getting adapted to that lifestyle in the minor leagues and, you know, hopefully in the, you know, down the road in the big leagues, that he, you know, understands what it takes and that he continues, you know, to prepare in the proper manner.
So how does, you know, with these past couple of Diamondbacks draft picks, how has IMG been able to tailor the experience to make it as close to the big league experience? Because I know, like you said, you were trying to pull Brennan off the mound a little bit early on and kind of adjust some things, but the program itself, how does that get these guys ready for the big league level?
Yeah, it's run a lot more of like a college program or even like a, probably an instructional league, a professional instructional league, than it is a conventional high school. You know, when you look at the things that are afforded to these kids in terms of having mental coaches, you know, our athletic and personal development, right? So they have nutrition classes. You know, our position players have vision. You know, our pitchers take yoga and Pilates and just making them better athletes. So I think there's going to be a lot of things that he was exposed to here at IMG that'll make the transition to professional baseball a whole lot easier for him. You know, and even hearing some of our alumni talk, well, even Levi Kelly, you know, went ahead and texted me here about, 5 weeks ago, just saying how he felt he was so much better prepared for the professional lifestyle, you know, coming out of IMG. So when you look at the level of technology we have and certainly the facilities, but most importantly, the coaches, you know, guys that have played professionally for a number of years, or coached, you know, at the collegiate level, and just really being able to give the kids the roadmap to assist them when they make that next jump, whether it's into college baseball or it's professional baseball. I think quite a few of them, you know, hit the ground running. And there's not a whole lot that's going to be foreign to them, you know, once they enter those levels. So I think in that way, where they're not so overwhelmed or there's not so much that's new and they can really focus on their development and they understand that it is a process, right, that, you know, don't be so caught up in just the results, but be focused more on the process and the results will follow. Having them understanding that and hearing that from guys that have been through it, right? Guys like Steve Fry, Tony Ferreira, you know, a guy like John Russell that was just most recently in the major leagues as, you know, Buck Showalter's bench coach. You know, for them to be able to kind of be around that on a daily basis, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to think that they don't get that knowledge and do something with it when those opportunities come about.
Dan, we appreciate the time and the insight, and we'll definitely be keeping track of those IMG to Diamondback draft picks here over the next couple of years.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and we're certainly excited about their futures. I think the Diamondbacks got some real good ones, and hopefully we'll see their progress over the next few years.